That's like House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries say the president gave the speech he needed to last night.
Smoking Joe Biden was on fire.
The Republican response came from Alabama Senator Katie Britt, CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
She has been thought of as someone in the Republican Party that can address some of the vulnerabilities that the standard bearer of the party has.
A top U.S. official is in the Middle East. Here's CBS's Chris Livesay.
CIA Director Bill Burns today is in Doha. Qatar, as we know, has been a main conduit for negotiations with Hamas.
Job numbers are up, but so is unemployment, just slightly. Here's CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
I think the Fed wants to be clear that inflation is not just coming down. So directionally, that yes, that's good, but it's coming down in a way that they feel confident it's not going to bubble back up anytime soon.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 11 employees at the state prison in Waupun have been suspended as part of a federal investigation into alleged smuggling at the lockup. That's according to Governor Evers' office. The U.S. Justice Department says it doesn't comment on possible investigations. Evers' spokesman says the administration asked the feds last summer to look into how prisoners were able to get everything from cell phones to illegal drugs. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden says it was he who shouted lies during President Biden's State of the Union speech last night.
My predecessor failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable.
The Republican tells the Journal Sentinel it's a lie to say former President Donald Trump doesn't care about the American people. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Less people are being hospitalized and dying in Wisconsin due to COVID-19, but seasonal respiratory viruses are still having serious impacts on health. The CDC recommends staying up to date with immunizations, practicing good hygiene, staying home when you're sick, and seeking medical care if you have risk factors for serious illness. You can mark your calendars for the Wildwood Park and Zoo Be the Bunny Enrichment Extravaganza. On April 6th, you can be the Easter Bunny and help zoo staff hide Easter eggs for the animals to find. There are baskets for the Kodiak brown bears, mountain lions, and the lynx and bobcat. Each basket is $20, and you must pre-purchase them at the Marshfield Parks and Rec. The baskets are full of the animals' favorite treats, and you get to hide them throughout their exhibit at 10 a.m. Or you can come watch the animals hunt for their Easter treats at 11 on April 6th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Badgers blank Rutgers. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, with a much-needed win at home. They held on to beat Rutgers 78-66. A.J. Storr had 19 points, but Greg Gard says the key was the return of Kamari McGee and the spark he added after missing 6 weeks with a foot injury.
He brings a toughness to us that we lacked. I always say I need more pit bulls, less poodles. He's a pit bull.
So Wisconsin faces the number 3 Boilermakers Sunday at 12:30 at Purdue. The girls' state high school basketball tournament continues. The finals tomorrow at the Resch Center in Green Bay. Baseball, the Brewers with an 8-2 win over the Chicago White Sox in Arizona. Inside the clubhouse, manager Pat Murphy says he's been impressed with the progress of right-handed pitcher Colin Ray.
This kid found himself with the help of Woody and obviously Wade. You know, they've built this friendship that's really special, and to see his confidence grow is just, I mean, it's incredible, man.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A damp day today as chances of light rain continues on and off throughout the day as high temperatures hit the low 40s. Winds will start to get breezy tonight out of the north. This is going to drag in below freezing temperatures, and as the system departs, we could see some light flurries. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this March 8th, 2024. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part one, we're going to speak with our friends, thanks to our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. We'll have Michael Barnes in. We'll talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market at the Moravian Church and some other great things going on in town. Right now, we have with us our good friend, Trent Miner, Wood County Clerk. We're going to talk about the April 2nd elections, get into some details about that. Trent, good to see you.
Nice seeing you.
It's been a while. Appreciate you, sir.
No problem.
Want to say right out the gate, we greatly appreciate you and your team and all you guys do for our community and helping us keep democracy alive.
Thank you.
In no small words, we appreciate that.
Appreciate
and so many
that.
Of our election workers out there.
You bet.
We have your back and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Trent, I want to get into a little bit of, you know, what's on the ballot this time around.
Sure.
Let's start right there.
Yeah, well, on the ballot this time, probably at the top of the ballot, is going to be the presidential preference primary. You are only allowed to vote in one party. President Biden is on the ballot first, along with a challenger to him, and then you have the Republican primary. Now, all those Republicans, there's only one left, but they're still on the ballot. The reason you see those on the ballot is because they didn't petition the Elections Commission in time to say, no, I'm no longer a candidate. I don't want to be on the ballot. So it's not my fault. If you see people you don't want to see on that ballot that are no longer running, there is a legal process that they have to go through to get off that ballot.
I don't think that's common knowledge, and I appreciate sharing that, Trent. That's really interesting.
It's kind of cool. When we were just ready to start printing the ballots, there's a deadline for petitioning, and Governor Hutchison has decided, nope, I'm not running anymore, and he had dropped out quite a while ago. He did petition, and the commission accepted his petition, and so his name isn't on the ballot, but the rest of them are. So that's going to be right off the top of the ballot. Then we get into, you know, there isn't a Supreme Court race this time, so that's off the ballot. There's Court of Appeals, and then we get into really our local. Judge Brazo is up for re-election this time in Circuit Court Branch 2. And then we get into the mayors and the towns, you know, some towns, school boards, there's some hot races out there too. So lots of local stuff this time, plus the presidential preference.
Yeah. Trent, when it comes to if people, maybe they haven't been able to do their homework, or maybe this is coming up a little bit sudden to them or something, is there a place to go to kind of find out what's on the ballot and to research those topics?
Absolutely. To see what's on your ballot, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. is a fantastic website that you punch in your address or your name or your birthday, and boom, it comes up. You can see what's on your ballot. You'll have to wait till 21 days prior to, because they're still working on getting all that imported in. But yeah, all that information is on the ballot. Then you can do your research based off of that and see who's running and who you like.
Is there any, has there been or is there any opportunity here for mail-in voting or any other types of ways to vote?
Absolutely. So there is certainly absentee voting. Another place, that MyVote website is a perfect place to go to request an absentee ballot.
Couldn't think of the word absentee. I'm going to be honest with you in the audience. It wouldn't pop in my head. I apologize.
No problem. So absentee voting, the clerks are in possession of the ballots right now. I actually delivered them yesterday, and they're picking up from our office today. day as well. So those absentee ballots will be ready to go. And go to myvote.wi.gov again to request your absentee ballot. If you are registered, you can request it from there. The absentee envelopes look a little bit different this time. The Elections Commission voted this last summer to change those up a little bit. To me, they're easier to read. The old ones had really, really, really small print on it, and now they've made three different envelopes to kind of expand out what the different processes are. I would just remind the listeners that if you do vote absentee, please fill out all the information that's required of you. We don't want to have to reject your ballot at the polls. We hate doing that. Clerks will jump through flaming hoops of fire to ensure that we are able to count your ballot, but only if those required things on the absentee ballot envelope are signed and filled in properly. So anything that's highlighted on the envelope, please make sure it's filled in correctly.
Is there a deadline for absentee ballots?
Absentee ballots have to be back in the clerk's office no later than 8 p.m. on Election Day. We don't have late arriving absentee ballots anymore, so everything has to be returned by then. You can request it up until the Thursday prior to the election, which is going to be, looking at your calendar on the wall, March 28th. You have to request it, but we all know the mail isn't as quick as it once was, so the sooner the better if you're going to do it by mail. Each clerk does provide in-person absentee voting. The City of Rapids will be starting that up in the next week, next week, about the 19th, they'll be able to start that up. So keep an eye out in the newspaper and on their websites for those opportunities as well.
And as far as people finding out about different things on there, like let's get into redistricting a little bit.
Sure.
Because that is certainly going to make things a little different from the last time people voted.
Yeah. The redistricting will actually take effect in this November election. So in Wood County, things changed quite dramatically, especially up in the Marshfield area. We used to be represented in the entire county by four assembly districts and, let's say, about three Senate districts. We're now down to two assembly districts and two Senate districts. So if you take a line from Jackson County on our west and run it straight across from the town of Hiles all the way through town of Dexter, town of Cranmore, Seneca, and then kind of shoot north Rapids up to Buren, a straight line across, that's going to be the 72nd. Everything south of that's going to be the 72nd assembly district, currently represented by Representative Krug. Everything north of that is going to be the 86th assembly district, which is currently represented by Representative Spiros out of Marshfield. So there's just a lot of changes when it comes to that. So you're going to have some different people on your ballots this fall. So far, that is what's going to happen. Courts have a way of changing things, but I think we're pretty well finalized now. This was a Supreme Court, and then the legislature acted. So I think we're at the final maps right now.
With that, will people have different polling places than in years past in some of these areas?
Should not. It didn't affect any of our wards, thank goodness. In some counties it did, and they're going to have to go through a redistricting process again. Fortunately for us, everything's going to be able to remain the same, which there isn't a municipal clerk that isn't saying hooray for that, including me, that everything's going to be able to remain the same. You're going to vote at the same locations. You're voting in the same wards that you have been the last year now. As far as if it had to change for Wood County, this was a pretty good change because not so much. It didn't affect where you're voting or any wards or anything.
Speaking of that, though, Trent, you mentioned the amazing website, myvotewi.gov, and again, encourage people to bookmark that. You could always use it. It's always noteworthy and helpful, no matter what election season we are in. So I just wanted to do this for the audience's sake and everything, for those that may not know where they're voting or if they're curious about your polling place, because they've got some great links on here. here. One, find my polling place. So I just pulled that up, and right as we were getting ready to do our interview today, I threw in my my parents' address, and I see that, I see where we're located. I see where it is to vote. Pops up right away. It's such a great website. It does such an amazing job. And even if you, let's be honest, sometimes not everybody votes every election cycle and everything. Maybe it's been a little while. You need a refresher. Mm-hmm. This is a great website for that.
Absolutely.
It's a great way to be able to find out where you're voting in your specific area. And keep in mind, wherever you're listening to us in Wisconsin, you will be able to find that out. It's not just specifically us here in Wood County.
Absolutely. And if you look at that website in our bigger cities, even in Rapids, Marshall, which aren't huge cities, but they'll have that computer up at the polling locations on election day, because people show up, it's like, well, I voted here, 4 years ago. Well, it changed.
Yeah.
And their names aren't on any of the poll books. So we can look them up on the MyVote, because we have that at they have those at those polling locations, so they can, boom, click it on and say, oh, no, you're going to be voting here or whatever.
When we were talking earlier, we mentioned this. If you're curious about what's on the ballot, I always encourage our listeners. I encourage everybody to vote, of course. It is your civic duty. It is a way to keep democracy alive in this country. Yes. And I think it's fun, to be honest. I think voting's fun. I know I'm a weirdo, but I do.
There's two weirdos in the room, because I enjoy it too. Right. Yeah. It's my life. I enjoy that.
But it's also a great way to find out what's on that ballot. Certainly, there's a link for that. It's also a place where you can update your name and address if you've moved since the last time you voted. And that can also lead to wondering where you're going to be voting. And very important, I want to make sure to mention, you can register to vote there. I think that this is one of those things that I think I need to highlight that more often. I've talked to a lot of our listeners that oftentimes are unsure if they're registered or are concerned that, oh, no, the day of, and I forgot, and I'm not sure, and I really want to vote and all that. How late can you register to vote, Trent?
Election day. Truly, you can vote. You can register up until election day. Yes, the MyVote website is certainly the easiest way of doing it. However, it only takes one thing. The MyVote website is based off your driver's license. You have to make sure your driver's license is up to date. So if you move, we all know you don't go to the DMV to get a driver's license anymore. However, you can go to the DMV website, update your address from there, and from that DMV website, they'll ask you, do you want to register to vote? And it'll send you right to that MyVote website after that. So you'll be able to register using your driver's license. And that's only one of the items that you could use to register to vote. If you register to vote in person in a clerk's office or an election day, there are other things you can use, driver's license. I didn't prepare for that.
Driver's Social license. Security card.
Yeah, so we don't need a Social Security card.
Okay.
But driver's license, there's a list of things that can use for proof of residency.
Mail with your address on it, your
some
name.
Mail, some mail, leases, your house lease, those things like that. One thing that isn't on that list is insurances. Don't bring us your car insurance card, because that's not allowed through statute. But there's a list of things that the poll workers will be able to help you with on what you need.
We're speaking with Trent Miner, Wood County Clerk, and talking about the April 2nd election coming up. There is all those things that we mentioned there. And as we were talking about earlier, a way to absentee vote or find out about that as well, you can do through the website myvotewi.gov. One other really cool thing that I think, I, as a fellow voting nerd like I am, the tracking my ballot, that's so awesome. It's cool. Let's just put aside, it's kind of neat and cool to be able to do that nowadays. Yes. But it's also pretty vital in this day and age, whether it's unfortunate or not. And I kind of think it is. But it's one of those things where every bit of transparency we can give the American people, it goes so far nowadays.
It does. It does. And truly, the election process is so transparent. And it bugs me that when we hear these things that, stuff happens behind closed doors, or votes are switching at the polling place with the machines and stuff like that. Oh, my heavens. If these people just got out of their little shell and understood that the process, the checks and balances that are in place by state statute. Truly, Wisconsin is one of the most secure, best-run states in the nation. Mm-hmm. You think about it, Where are elections administered at? They're not at really at the county level. They're at the municipal level. And that's not the case in every state in the union. Mm-hmm. So we have 1,800 municipal clerks-ish, 72 county clerks, whereas in, say, like a state like Arizona, where you have just a certain number of county clerks because their elections are run by county, you have that many people with their eyes on that information looking to make sure everything is correct. And when I tell you that clerks will go through flaming hoops of fire to make sure everything is done correctly, I'm not joking. Mm-hmm. If they see something wrong that, oh, hey, this voter's listed twice in my poll book, they're on it.
Yeah.
They are on it. The cases of fraud, yeah, is there going to be election fraud? Yes, there will be small instances of election fraud. It's never enough to overturn an election.
Mm-hmm.
Have people voted twice? Yes. And guess what? They get caught.
Yep.
It doesn't take long for them to get caught, and they will be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened here in Wood County before. It happens in every county in the state. So I'm very, very confident in the elections that we run in Wisconsin and certainly in Wood County.
Two notes on this that I want to make sure to get to, and this is just me speaking for mm-hmm. myself, not Civic Media, not WFHR, anything like that. For
yep.
one, there is nothing you can get away with nowadays. Like, watch one episode of CSI, okay?
Right.
Like, there's nothing anymore. Everything's able to be found and,
yep.
and uncovered and everything. Mm-hmm. If anything, the last 4 or 5 years have shown us that. Mm-hmm. All the questions have been answered. All the checks have been balanced.
Mm-hmm.
We understand now. We get it. You know, I know that there's some people out there that's to their own business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to the rational people out there that have two brain cells to put together.
Right.
And when it comes to that, we understand that not only is the election solid, mm-hmm. But here's another note. And I'll admit, I'm a transplant. I'm not mm-hmm. from this state, but I've lived here over 20 years. And I got my children are from Wisconsin. My best friend is. I understand Wisconsinites pretty well. And if there's one thing I know about Wisconsinites, you guys take pride in Wisconsin. You take pride in being from Wisconsin. You take pride in your fellow Wisconsinites.
Yes.
That's who's working these machines. These ballots. That's who's counting these votes. That's who's working behind the scenes to make sure that the democracy stays alive. Fellow Wisconsin. Nights. Take some pride in your state. Take some pride in your fellow, in your neighbors, and your colleagues, and appreciate what they are doing, taking time out of their day. How much does a election worker get paid, Trent?
Oh, it varies from, and that's
I'm guessing not Rockefeller money.
We're not talking Rockefeller money. We're talking between $10 and $15 an hour.
Right, right.
They can go to McDonald's and make more.
Yeah,
and certainly without less scrutiny.
Exactly. Yeah.
Think about what your
fellow Americans, your fellow human beings sitting next to you at church or at work or anything like that. These are election workers.
If you trust your neighbor to take out your dog when you're on vacation, these are the same people that are working the polls.
Yeah.
You let them in your house. They can be trusted to make sure that everything is run correctly on election day. Absolutely.
We've got real issues and real problems in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We've got enough on our plate. We don't need to make up stuff.
Correct.
We don't need to add things to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions, encourage you to ask and find the answers
sure.
out. And I really encourage people to, hey, get over there. And they could always use people.
Oh,
they could always
heavens,
use volunteers.
Yes.
They could always, if you really question the process, well, get off your butt and
yep.
get in there and
absolutely.
Actually help out. And
that has happened sometimes. Where some people that had questions about the election, or if you want to call them deniers or whatever, I've seen that happen. Get in there. Okay,
yep.
they do. And mm. that's great. Love it. We love to see you in there.
Yeah.
I've even had Representative Scott Krug,
yeah.
Who I respect greatly, especially since, as a part of when I came into office, some of these politicians, especially after 2020, were almost jumping on that bandwagon
mm-hmm.
where everything's rigged. It's like, get your butt in my office and let's talk about this.
Yeah.
And by golly, if Representative Krug didn't take me up on that offer,
yeah.
Election night back in last April, he sat with me the mm. entire night as election results came in. Representative Rosar from Marshfield said, if you ever need me as a poll worker, please let me know. And there were a couple times where we were short of poll workers. And I said, Donna, can you go to town of Seneca or town of Hiles?
Hmm.
Yep. And she went and worked them. So these these people, state reps have, those two at least have a general knowledge of how the process actually works because they were in there. They were doing the job. So I respect that wholly when people do that.
Scott joins us once a month. He's okay. No, I'm joking. I'm Scott. We're good friends with Scott. We appreciate Scott. And Scott, one of the things that him and I have a great respect for each other with is we can butt heads. And at the end of it, we're still laughing. We're still talking.
And we've seen that, especially this session. You know, so I'm president of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association this year. And there's some bills that we saw come through, and it was totally different in the Assembly Elections and Campaigns Committee, how they treated clerks. Before, it was run by a person that maybe didn't trust clerks as much. That's certainly not the case now. And we see legislation that is actually bipartisan in nature coming out of that committee. It's like, you know, and Representative Crew has been around a long time. He understands, how do you get a bill to become a law? Well, if you don't have both houses of the legislature and the governor's, you know, governor's seat, you're going to have to compromise. Mm-hmm. And that's what we saw this last session. So I applaud them, both him and minority ranking member Snodgrass from the Fox Valley. Mm-hmm. Did a fantastic job, really, this year.
Wisconsin has an opportunity to be a beacon to the union.
Mm-hmm.
We are a purple state. We show how this can be done, how we can live next to each other and get things done all the time. It happens constantly here in this state. Mm-hmm. And we can continue to highlight that, continue to celebrate that after this April 2nd election. Let's use our heads. Let's use our hearts. Look out for each other. Be good to each other. And appreciate our poll workers and the people working so hard behind the scenes to keep democracy alive.
And truly, you know, yes, our county clerks elected officials. Yes, we are elected every 4 years on a partisan ballot. Do we run under a party name? Yes, we do. But I honestly, as president of the association, I couldn't tell you all that many, how many are D's and how many are R's. I mean, we're all doing the same job, trying to get the same thing done as best as we can, and as, you know, making sure we're following the statutes, however much they can change around during during court season or whatever. We're just trying to do the best we can. And I don't know whether, it doesn't matter whether you're D, R, I, or purple with pink polka dots. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
By the way, that is my party, the purple pink polka dot party. And it's only one member. It's just me so far, but we'll see how it goes. Trent, thank you so much for joining us. As we're wrapping up, let's go over the details one more time about April 2nd. When the election, date of the election, I just said it, but you know, the date of the election, locations, and more information.
April 2nd, from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m., the polls will be open right at 7 a.m., and they will close at 8 p.m. Make sure all, if you're voting absentee, you got to make sure that absentee ballot gets back, and then make sure that you're the one returning that absentee ballot. You can't have your neighbor return it for you unless you're handicap or something like that. So make sure you get your request in early, get it sent back, and then do your research. Go to myvote.wi.gov, take a look at the candidates, and then research your candidates from there.
Yeah, do your homework out there, everybody. Help keep democracy alive. Get your vote in and find out more at myvotewi.gov, myvotewi.gov. Trent, we always appreciate you and the time. Say hi to your team, all those great people volunteering over there. Let them know how much we appreciate them. We got your back, and thank you again for the time.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Well, a more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, Locally Grown Radio.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artist. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin congressman is pushing to force a Chinese tech company to sell TikTok. The U.S. House is expected to vote next week. Republican Mike Gallagher says he's concerned the popular social media app will drive election year misinformation. More than 170 million Americans use TikTok. Healthy diet tips don't work the same way for everyone. Bailey Holmquist is a registered dietitian. She says it's helpful to know what your body can handle.
If somebody has kidney disease and they hear protein, that's so not good for them to hear because protein is very, very hard on the kidneys when somebody has impaired kidney function.
Holmquist says having plenty of your favorite healthy ingredients on hand saves meal prep time on busy nights. March is National Nutrition Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Too many people are dying on Wisconsin roadways. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reinforcing its commitment to safety in March by joining 160 organizations in the National Allies in Action campaign. They're working to eliminate crash injuries and fatalities. They're expanding the Safety First initiative to enhance knowledge of safety-related best practices. WSDOT is also developing new educational opportunities to inform and collaborate with the public. These major safety campaigns include Zero in Wisconsin, Buckle Up, Phone Down, Control Your Drive, and Click It or Ticket. There's live theater in central Wisconsin this weekend. You can catch The Glass Menagerie at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Friday and Saturday at 7. There's a matinee performance Saturday at 2. The Showcase Players in Coby are presenting the Wisconsin premiere of Love or Best Offer Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Badgers blank Rutgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, with a much-needed win at home. They held on to beat Rutgers 78-66. A.J. Storr had 19 points, but Greg Gard says the key was the return of Kamari McGee and the spark he added after missing 6 weeks with a foot injury.
He brings a toughness to us that we lacked. I always say I need more pit bulls, less poodles. He's a pit bull.
So Wisconsin faces the number 3 Boilermakers Sunday at 12:30 at Purdue. The girls' state high school basketball tournament continues. The finals tomorrow at the Resch Center in Green Bay. Baseball, the Brewers with an 8-2 win over the Chicago White Sox in Arizona. Inside the clubhouse, manager Pat Murphy says he's been impressed with the progress of right-handed pitcher Colin Ray.
This kid found himself with the help of Woody and obviously Wade. You know, they've built this friendship that's really special, and to see his confidence grow is just, I mean, it's incredible, man.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
A damp day today as chances of light rain continues on and off throughout the day as high temperatures hit the low 40s. Winds will start to get breezy tonight out of the north. This is going to drag in below freezing temperatures, and as the system departs, we could see some light flurries. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this March 8th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and we're welcoming in some great friends of ours. First, want to send a big shout-out to our friends at Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, do some amazing work in our community, and usually free up the time that they have on Fridays here to bring in some local guests, and we really appreciate Meredith and the gang over there so much. Before we wrap up, might touch on a couple of other things going on here in town that the Bureau is highlighting. But right now, we get to highlight one of our favorite things, the Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market. I will journalistically mention I'm a gigantic fan of farmers markets, have been my whole life. It comes from my mother, and I really appreciate the work that's put into these, both by vendors and the community and people hosting them. So let's go ahead and dive right into this. We have with us Michael Barnes, director of the Indoor Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market. Michael, good to see you.
Good to see you again,
James. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us, Michael. Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. And we brought a friend with. We have Elizabeth Murphy with us with 2E's Catering. Elizabeth, thanks for being here.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
It's nice to meet you and looking forward to talking with you a little bit more. We'll put you on the spot. I mean, ask you questions in a minute.
It's nice to be here.
Michael, let's get right into it and give over the, for those that may not, maybe there's somebody, that one person out there that maybe hasn't heard about the Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market. Let's give them the details and what the market is.
Okay, well, I think there's more than one person out
might
there
be,
that doesn't know. That's why we continue to try to get the word out.
Yes.
We run from fall. We start about the end of October, and we run up to Christmas, and then we take a couple weeks off, and then we run from the first of January, or first weekend in January, to May, the middle of May. We are there at the in the basement of the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have space for as much as 25 vendors. We haven't hit that yet, but we're working on it. Mm-hmm. We're working on filling it more and more. It's a group, kind of a nice group of things like eggs and bakery. Mm-hmm. And we have ready-to-eat foods. Mm-hmm. We've had egg rolls there. We've actually had some food trucks there this year. And we have things like fry pies, and then there's crafts, a couple, three different kind of crafts. We've had some products like Norwex products that are environmentally friendly types of products. So we try to have this variety of things that makes it fun, a place you want to come, a place you can get some foods, especially things like eggs. We're working on trying to find someone who does greens, but you know, middle of the winter, it's hard to find a lot of fresh-grown greens.
Yeah,
but we're
working
on it. They exist. They're just hard to find. So,
this has been, now we've had our farmers market here in town for a while. The winter farmers market is, it's just been a couple of years that this has been around. It got running back, started in 2021, I believe, right?
No, actually we started last year. 2023, the winter of 2023.
Gotcha. Okay.
The Wisconsin Rapids Convention Bureau, they did it back in 21, 22.
Okay.
Did 1 year. It was sort of a test thing for them.
Yeah.
They wanted to show the viability of a winter's farmers market. It worked out. And then they looked for somebody to pick up the ball, so to speak, mm-hmm. and we took it on.
You mentioned the space for vendors there and the types of vendors. If you are somebody out there with goods to sell, I would encourage you to reach out to the Winter Farmers Market. Is that correct? I mean, is there any catch to that? I would imagine I'm always trying to get my Simpsons one-man show off. I don't know if you guys would want that over there. So maybe something like that, maybe not so much. But other things, we're encouraging people to reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love to see a variety of vendors. We're not real, you know, it's not a flea market, but it's also, but it is a place for people to bring their wares, a place to get exposure, a place to sell their stuff. It's kind of like a storefront for people that don't want a 7-day-a-week store and all the costs involved there. You know, we also could be a place for people to, you know, if somebody wants to do some things like we have coming up a St. Patrick's Day event. Mm-hmm. I've been looking for a step dancing group.
Nice.
Not a professional one because we don't have money to pay that. Yeah. But if some step dancing group is out there and wanted to come, and we got a little stage in the back there, they could certainly come and show their stuff off. So we're a variety of things. We're also interested in any nonprofits that we have a. Well, for instance, we have a balloon lady comes in. She doesn't sell them. She just makes them for the kids.
That's cool.
I've had a company contact me once, a place called Lasagna Love, where they want to show people what they're doing as a charity thing, where they take the ingredients, they make some lasagna for needy families, that kind of thing. So we're interested in a variety of things. We still have space and, you know, contact me.
Yeah. We'll give you the information on how to do that before we wrap up today. You know, one of the other things that I think stands out about our farmers market, I do want to mention too, you mentioned food trucks before. If you are a food truck, certainly reach out as well. Got room over there and love having that over there. Anytime I pass on Saturdays, it's great to see the amount of busyness and the trucks over there and stuff. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, the ones we have are people that, well, actually I ran into them. They were out there vending out in Stevens, one of them was in Stevens Point. You know, on a pretty cold day, so I said, well, these are hardy souls. I'll see if they want to come over. They actually like the idea if it's really, really, really cold, they'll come downstairs in the basement and sell their wares.
Nice.
Then it's been nicer, so now they're back out in their food trucks in the parking lot.
What a great option for them, though.
Yes.
And we know how much more popular that is becoming and everything, so that's something to keep in mind as well to businesses out there. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate the time. More on you and more from you in a little bit here, because I want to put Elizabeth to work. I mean, talk to her a little bit and get to know her. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Too Easy Catering. And first off, what is it that you guys do? What are the fun things and unique things about your business?
Well, we are completely family-owned. I don't have any employees, quote-unquote. I have kids and a husband that I put to work pretty frequently. But we work together on it. I do all the baking myself, but my kids help with packaging, and my husband has even been employed as a salesman in the last few months and has found that he actually kind of likes it, surprisingly.
All right.
Good, so he's pretty popular at the markets, too. We try to do as much locally sourced products as we can with fruit that we actually grow ourselves, fruits and veg that we grow on our property so we know how they're handled. And I try to do as much locally as I can, like we use the small Amish markets for our products.
Cool.
And we're also trying to do a lot more paper versus product plastic for our packaging to keep things a little more environmentally friendly that way. Growing our own stuff also gives us the advantage of keeping our prices a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. Our overhead's a little bit lower if we grow it ourselves. So, I also stress the use of a lot of fruit and veg in my baking, makes it healthier. Whole grains, obviously, I like to offer. And we do we offer some gluten-free as well, which people appreciate.
Yeah. Where did the idea and the passion come from to create Too Easy Catering?
To be perfectly honest, it was a necessity. It was born of necessity. Our church is a small church, and I bake out of the church in Arpin, First Presbyterian, and we needed a new floor. We needed a new floor in our kitchen, and we needed to do a fundraiser, so I started baking. I did a local event. It went really well, and people said, hey, you know, you could take this to the farmer's market. And so it was kind of cool because our initial response was a little slow, but by the end of the summer, we had paid off the floor.
Oh, wow.
So that was a project that, okay, now do I keep going? I really love this.
Yeah.
I was a caregiver for 30 years, and I retired from that, and I'm baking full-time now, which... I wake up in the morning and I go, what am I baking today?
Yeah.
So I know I'm in the right line of work.
Right.
I love what I'm doing, and I love the feedback that I get, and I really like to give a kid a cookie and see him smile.
Yeah.
That's where it's all at.
That's wonderful. That is fantastic. Elizabeth, first off, thank you so much for the work you did as a caregiver. We appreciate it. We don't get to highlight our caregivers nearly enough, that industry nearly enough, and we greatly appreciate the work that you and fellow people like yourself put into that industry. Now you're... You continue to caregive in some ways, just in a different way now, maybe some different clientele in some ways. What you offer is unique too. Especially in this day and age where there are so many options and so many varieties, but what you're offering is so specific, unique, and fun, if I can say. I like the idea of that, and we know how much people love sweets, love baked goods, but when you tell somebody it's local, you add that local word to it, ooh, you get some attention. You get some people really wanting to try and like those things. And while you may have your favorite type of chocolate chip cookie or muffin or something like that, we're always looking to try the next thing. We're always interested in that, and cannot recommend your products enough when it comes to that. People need to give this a try, give it a shot, and you can do that at the Moravian Church. You guys will be there. You have a booth there.
Regulars.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right on. So when it comes to that, Elizabeth, what made you guys want to give the Winter's Farmers Market a try, and what has your experience been like?
It has been amazing from day one. I mean, Mike is so personable and easy to work with and accommodating. I gotta say, one of the easiest hosts that I've ever worked with. And I've been around quite a bit to different areas of the state and different places. And you always have that little apprehension when you first walk into a market.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, you've got a truckload of stuff. Mm-hmm. You want to sell it. But, you know, how much hassle is there going to be from point A to point B to get the stuff sold? I have a regular clientele at the outdoor market, which has kind of followed me into the indoor market. And so that's kind of paved the way to being more successful there, too, which helps. So, yeah, that market is... being it was a little church too, and it's local for me, it's close. I live in Auburndale, so it's not a long jog to go and set up every week. Mike also offers the opportunity to set up on Fridays, which appeals to a lot of people, because then you get up in the morning and you just go to your venue.
Oh,
and
is that smart?
It's really, it means a lot to a lot of people, especially older people that are vending and they feel really pressured when they first get to the market. It can be tough for folks like that. So he has the opportunity to set up ahead of time, which, like I said, works out.
That's a really big, first off, that's something that, like, I've been going to farmers markets my whole life. My mother loves them. And even as a kid in Chicago, we went to them and everything. But that's something I would not have known. I really appreciate you sharing that. For one, it gives us a little empathy and a little understanding of vendors. But also, to the vendors out there, that is a key selling point, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Huh. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yep.
And when it comes to our particular Winter's Farmers Market, and we want to encourage people to support any farmers market around any time of year, wherever they are. We're a little biased about our own, of course, because we support local and we love ours. But wherever you got a farmer's market, wherever you're listening to us, be sure to participate and work there and use their products and check out more and spread the word about these too. There are a lot of great vendors out there, a lot of great opportunities for them. And when it comes to buying local, supporting local, which is something that it's been a mantra in this area really since the pandemic and even before that a little bit. But to me, that's not just words. Like, we actually have to put some action behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways of doing that is supporting our local vendors. Nowadays, to have the opportunity to have no middleman, I don't have to go to a said business to get this said product. I just go right to the person and I get it. And I get to have a conversation and I get to see this person eye to eye and all that. That goes so far in a day and age where we take transparency so seriously and value it so much. The idea of getting to talk to somebody like Elizabeth and find out, hey, what's in this? You know, this is really good. And being able to ask questions like that. The Keebler Elves are great, but they don't take answer. They've never answered one of my emails or one of my phone calls. Yeah, you can talk right to Elizabeth. You can go right to her and talk to her. That opportunity for people means something. It carries weight with it. Those are important factors to anybody, any vendors out there thinking about maybe reaching out to our Winter's Farmer Market and being a part of ours here in Wisconsin. And rapids. Are there other things that you want to highlight there, Elizabeth?
I think just that point that you just made, the story is invaluable. I mean, you can't give enough credit to what it means to have a relationship with your customer that says, this is how I got into this, and this is why I make this way, and this is what I use, and this is the story. This is how it's put together. It feels like you're so much closer to what you're consuming mm-hmm. when you know and you see the hands that make it and you know that it's clean, it's wholesome, it's good for you. Even though, okay, it's a cookie, yes. But I use real butter. I don't use vegetable shortening. I don't use, you know, so it is a cookie, but it's a little bit healthier for you. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know it's good, you know it's fresh, you know it's homemade. And I think that love aspect of it is important, too.
Well, it's interesting, and you guys know this as consumers as well, but in this, as we go forward here, more and more people want more bang for their buck. And certainly that means I spend a dollar, I want to get a dollar's worth. But it's not just that, too. They want to know that dollar they're spending. Is it going local? Is it helping a local business? Is it helping a local person? That more bang for our buck is not just about materialism that we get back, but what that dollar means for the person we're giving it to or the person we're trading with for goods and everything. So Elizabeth's point right there is so key to this too. Being able to talk to a person and learn the story of 2E's catering and like it pulls your heart into it, pulls your empathy into it more, and it makes you want to purchase their products, let alone how great they are. Like it's a win-win of all factors, and it's kind of cool for people to be able to have that opportunity. You can have that opportunity too. We've got room over at the Moravian Church's Winter Farmers Market. Reach out to Mike and the gang, and we'll give you information on how to do that in a moment. But thank you again for the time. Elizabeth, is there anything else you wanted to share or cover?
I would like to give a plug for the local artisans, the people that make crafts and make real art. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can go to art museums, we can go around and we can see all of the installations around the country, around the state, wherever. But you just, when you take a look at what our local artisans are creating, mm-hmm. it is fantastic. People do some beautiful work. It's right here in our community. And there again, you get that. You get to see the process. You get to talk to the person that made it. And hey, you know, you might run into somebody that eventually is going to be really famous and you might have a valuable piece. So mm-hmm. I think that's another aspect of the market that offers a local look into what people are creating.
Michael, she's good. She's good. That teed me up perfectly. I wanted to go right to that, and you did a great job on that, Elizabeth. Well, I did want to make sure to highlight that while we take in food, you know, vendors and that, there is room for the arts. There is room for other types of vendors as well, Michael.
That's right. We have several craft vendors, artistic type vendors. One that comes to mind is a Tammy Norris Design. Mm-hmm. She does things. So we have those types of people coming in, and we got room for them, you know.
Macrame buttons. I got to give Joyce a shout.
Oh, yes. Macrame buttons. Yes. She does some wonderful things.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found it interesting you talked about your customers following you in from the summer farmer's market. This is a storefront for people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a lot cheaper than going out and renting a building for yourself. And maybe less hassle than trying to do it across the internet where people are sending in internet orders. So mm-hmm. it's a way to market your stuff. So
I encourage you to find out more, to reach out to Michael and the team over there at the Moravian Church. I do want to send another big shout out to all of our vendors out there. Buy local, support our local vendors. And a big thank you to you and the gang, Beth, and everybody at the Moravian Church hosting this. We appreciate our friends over there. I gotta mention Beth or she'll smack me in the back of the head.
Yeah.
No. We appreciate you, Beth, and everybody over there hosting this. Thank you so much. Michael, one more time, going over the details, the Winter Winter's Farmers Market goes every 9 to 1 every Saturday at the Moravian Church. This will be taking place until May 18th. Going until then. Find out more, going to their Facebook page, or going to the webpage, wrmoravian.org. You can find a link there for vendors and other information about the Moravian Church and the Winter's Farmers Market. Michael, any other information we need to get out there before we wrap up?
Well, we have the St. Patrick's Day event happening in a week. March 16th, we're going to have, there's going to be several leprechaun posters posted around at some businesses. Elizabeth's been very kind to help me out with that. There's going to be pull tabs on there. Mm. So if you find one of them, grab a pull tab, come into the market, you get a free cookie.
Free cookie.
Nice.
Free
nice.
St. Patty's Day cookie. Also, for those who want to wear the green, as it were, you stop in at the sign-in desk and you will get extra entries into a grand door prize. So everybody's going to get an entry, but if you wear the green, you're going to get multiple entries into the bucket, a bigger chance to win.
Very cool.
I think I'll be wearing some green and a hat, you know.
Boy, Wisconsinites, finding something green in your wardrobe, that's going to be so tough.
It's going to be tough.
Appreciate that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
And there'll be Irish music that day, so we're going to put a little decoration up. So we're trying to make something fun, a little extra special event going on.
All of these things we have covered today, the three of us, is great, and it's all important. Another important thing I think to keep in mind, this is a great opportunity to get out and communicate, see some people, talk to some people. Even if you don't come down and purchase anything, you may be able to spread the word about one of these great vendors or what has happening over there. You can help promote the Winter's Farmers Market as well, because we all know word of mouth goes farther than anything can. And it's a great way to support local and the great work that they're doing over there. Elizabeth, before we let you go, 2E's Catering, how can we find out more about your products?
We are on Facebook and Instagram at 2E's Catering and Baked Goods. Check us out. There's lots of pictures of all the goodies and the possibilities. And we do some catering, too. So if you have a catering event coming up, give me a shout.
Excellent. I'm going to make an event just so I can bug you and have you cater it.
There's a Facebook page for the Winter's Farmers Market, WR Winter's Farmers Market on Facebook. So
be sure to like these pages. Keep up to date on all the great things that they are doing, supporting local. Again, both of you, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Jay. Appreciate you. Again, a big thank you to Elizabeth Murphy of 2E's Catering and Michael Barnes, director of the Indoor Wisconsin Rapids Winter's Farmers Market. Really appreciate them joining us. Just to wrap up, I want to highlight a couple of things that our friends at Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau have on our list, like Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's The Glass Menagerie. They've got a couple more shows for you. Be sure to catch one tonight, Friday at 7, or Saturday they have a 2:00 matinee and a show at 7. Find out more and get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Always Olivia and Olivia Newton-John tribute going to be taking place this Sunday, March 10th, 2:00 at the Performing Arts Center, Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to get your tickets at savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. There's also the Port Edwards Lions Club Pancake Brunch going on March 10th at 8 a.m. at Port Edwards High School. Be sure to check that out. The Copper Box going to be performing live March 10th, 3:00 at Pittsville Schools Auditorium. Be sure to check that out. And Make a Splash, the 2024 Ice Show, March 16th and 17th at 1:00 at the Southwood County Rec Center. Speaking of the Rec Center, your River Kings are in playoff action this weekend. Get your tickets and find out more at riverkingshockey.com. Buy local, support local. We got such a beautiful area around here. Let's make sure to enjoy it and celebrate it, everybody. Shout out to Meredith and our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau for all the great work they do. Find out more at visitwisrapids.com. That's visitwisrapids.com. And again, a big thank you, of course, to Michael Barnes, director of the Indoor Wisconsin Rapids Winter's Farmers Market, and to Elizabeth from 2E's Catering. Appreciate all of them joining us and all of our guests this week. A big thank you to everybody who joined us. Great week of Midday Magazine for you coming up next week. We're also going to be interviewing all of our local candidates for the April 2nd election. Be listening for that. And one more special shout out to our own Pam Hilke, who does an amazing job week in and week out scheduling all of this and doing so much behind the scenes for you. We appreciate you, Pam. You have a good weekend. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Matt Nair on Air. Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matinee on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.